Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Good afternoon, Rolene Mark. Take me to the news, Rolene. What is happening in New York?
The remix version.
No. All right, I'll take your word for it. Gosh, Rolene, I've just read that Israel is sending its vaccines to South Korea. These are the 700,000 vaccines which the Palestinians didn't want.
700,000 vaccines that the Palestinians want, and this is the first international deal of this kind. There were discussions early in the week of a possible vaccine swap with the UK. That didn't happen. And this deal was approved by Pfizer. Now, I just want to address something because I know many people have messaged me and said, why can't vaccines be sent to South Africa? Why can't Israel send vaccines to South Africa? It's a very, very complicated process. And there are a lot of protocols in place. And vaccine manufacturers have to approve any deal like this. You know, it's like any bilateral deal that has many moving parts and many different players. It has to go through very, very strict checks and balances and approval systems. So that is the reason why it's gone to South Korea. This has been brokered, and those vaccines are currently winging their way off to Seoul. And what we are expecting to happen is an exchange of vaccines. So we will receive the same amount of vaccines from South Korea, and this should take place around about September time. But we do have some breaking news. An explosion in an Iranian oil field apparently it has killed three. This is the Mehr news agency. This oil field, which is located in the western Ilam province, some 52 kilometers away south of the city of Deloren, and this has taken place on the Cheshmeh-Khosh oil pipeline to Ahvaz. This is in Iran.
I want to go back to the vaccine story for just a moment, Rolene, because there's a piece of puzzle that I'm not understanding. The entire world media went bananas that Israel was practicing vaccine apartheid because it wasn't giving the vaccines to the Palestinian Authority. They rejected them. They're going to South Korea. I don't understand the issue. Why is Israel getting such bad press?
Oh, well, I think we understand now that when it comes to Israel, any opportunity to smack Israel with the nasty stick, you know, we've seen it with the vaccine issue, no apologies forthcoming. We've seen it with various issues. I mean, the streets of London and New York and many places are just very, very quiet now, Simon, while we know of Palestinian protesters being literally brutalized. In fact, I think the term used by a Palestinian journalist was a police state. You know, we're just hearing absolutely nothing about Uyghur Muslims in China. And the streets again were very, very empty when it came to the Syrian civil war or the rape and murder of Yazidis. Could it be a double standard?
It's, I don't know. You tell me. But let's stay with the issue of anti-Abbas protests because, remind us, there was a death of a civil rights activist, somebody who took quite a strong stance against Abbas, and he was killed in an arrest, was he not?
Yes, this was Nizar Banat, who died in the custody of Palestinian security forces. This was at the end of last month. And since then, there have been protests on a daily basis against Abbas and against the Palestinian Authority. And the Palestinian Authority security forces have cracked down on this, arresting at least 14 and using very, very brutal measures to do this, beating people with batons, using tear gas. And we know that at least five female journalists were beaten up in the process of these protests, and the US and the United Nations appealing to the Palestinian authorities to let these protests happen.
And the scary part for me, Rolene, is I can't think of an example in the Arab world where such protests have resulted in democratic changes of power. In fact, in the Israeli context, I would imagine all this means is that Hamas is going to grow stronger.
Well, this is it. You know, this does open up a or does allow for Hamas to come in. We know that they're gaining strength in the West Bank, and this of course is a concern.
President Rivlin, has he finished his job yet?
Oh, he finishes tomorrow. And this is just such an opportunity before we welcome in President-elect Isaac Herzog, just to say a massive thank you from the people of Israel who he has unified, to the diaspora communities around the world, to our outgoing president, Reuven Ruvi Rivlin, who ends his term officially tomorrow. Thank you for representing us so magnificently, for doing your utmost to unite a nation, for putting up with so many different kinds of issues, different elections, for being the Sabah of the nation, and for reading stories to us while we sat in lockdown during COVID. Cannot forget that. He's been absolutely extraordinary, and this is just the perfect opportunity to say a thank you to him.
And thinking about that, Rolene, the fact that he was such a right-wing politician, and yet when he was appointed to the position, he grew into the position. He did what the position expected him to do, and he did it faultlessly. I think about in South Africa, Mogoeng Mogoeng, who also had very strong opinions about things, but when he became Chief Justice, he grew into the position and did the position pride. He was remarkable, was he not, in that he truly represented everybody.
He certainly endeavored to do that. And, you know, like all human beings, he made the odd mistake here and there. But, you know, he was such a unifier. He did it in such a dignified way. You know, we grieved the loss of his wonderful wife, Nechama, with him while he was in office. He has been absolutely extraordinary, and he steps out with our eternal gratitude for the magnificent job that he has done.
Let's devote the remaining 3-4 minutes of this afternoon to the issue of the Belarus president, apparently quoted as saying some anti-Semitic things, very anti-Semitic things. Misunderstood or anti-Semitic?
I think we can fairly call it anti-Semitic. In fact, as we speak, I've just had a news flash coming in from our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who have criticized it, saying that these comments are absolutely not acceptable, and so much so that they have summoned the ambassador from Belarus into the offices for a conversation. I think that dressing down. But during a memorial for Soviet soldiers who served during World War II, Lukashenko says that the whole world bows to the Jews due to the Holocaust and are afraid of saying one wrong word to them. Well, obviously spends no time on Twitter, Simon, because I think that theory would be proven wrong. But it's very, very concerning, because on that same day, which happened to be Independence Day for Belarus, our outgoing president, now Ruvi Rivlin, wished them Happy Independence Day and spoke very warmly about the ties between our two countries, how strong they were, how warm they were. We also cannot forget that 800,000 Jews were murdered during the Holocaust who came from Belarus. So these statements are absolutely appalling. And also, we can't forget that it was Soviet soldiers who liberated the Auschwitz death camp. So what inspired these kinds of horrendous comments, one only knows, but they are profoundly offensive and can only be termed as anti-Semitic.
Wow, that is so interesting, because it just made no sense to me. I mean, I know his country is very supportive of Israel, and I just, as you say, I don't know where these statements came from, and I thought perhaps it could be interpreted as being, well done, Jews, nice job, well done. But perhaps the words he used doesn't leave room for an interpretation like that.
Well, this is it. And this is also after we've just spoken about Poland and Poland's kind of rewriting of Holocaust history. And it's a very worrying trend that we are seeing in this part of the world.
Rolene Marks, you go do those ab exercises to the remix. And I'll talk to you and washboard stomach this time tomorrow.
Well, you don't, because you play this like Pavlov's dog, Simon. I better go do some crunches.